7866.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel shouting through the war, and I'd like to give the information, asking for love, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Well, I'm not sure I've lost audio, but we're going to come in anyway. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Common Sense Show. Annie, give me a hello.
Well, hi there, Dave.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I totally lost the music there, but we are here at our new time. We are so excited. I know that the people on the East Coast are happy because they're no longer rubbing sleep from their eyes, or they won't be. So we're really happy to accommodate everyone, and we're so pleased to be going at this time. And yours truly will actually get a good night's sleep tonight. And it's a good thing, because I have some very early mornings starting up. Long story, different time. Anyway, we have a great, great show for you tonight in the inaugural kickoff of our new time slot. We have Doug Hagman with us from the Hagman & Hagman Report. And for my money, best radio show that's out there. I think this numbers, the popularity, the notoriety that Doug and Joe are getting speaks to that assessment. And we're going to talk about a number of things tonight. We're going to talk about Jade Helm. We're going to talk about CERN and what's going on with that, and a whole lot of other things that could pop up. But anyway, welcome to our new time. So we can say this, that no longer are we coming to you live from 9 to midnight Central. We are now 7 to 10 p.m. Central, and that change is permanent. So if you're hearing us for the first time, this is where you can always find us at this time. Doug Hagman, welcome to the show.
Dave, thanks for having me. Boy, I really appreciate the time change. Now, you see, now us old guys, okay, we can handle this better. Well, congratulations, though, on the new time and the show, the powerhouse you've got. And you're right, we in the East Coast, we do appreciate adjusting the time for us.
Yeah, even people in the Central Time Zone were saying, we did a poll one night, and it it was about 99% in favor of changing. And you know, Doug, it's kind of funny how this ended up coming to be. Back in the days when I started this show on RBN before we came over here and were broadcasting on our own network, the only time I could be sure of reasonably getting on the air and being consistent with getting on the air, because I was coaching college basketball, was Sunday night on the later side. And it was kind of a throwaway time. I mean, the network didn't know what they were getting with me, and he was just some guy that did local radio for a number of months. And so they were happy to stick me and hide me there. But pretty soon, we started to own that time slot, and before we left RBN, we had the number one show. And we're kind of anxious to see, you know, what our numbers look like, what happens to the listenership of our show. And we would hope that our listening audience would spread the word that we have made the change. But anyway, Doug, we live in perilous, perilous times.
We do.
The more that the authorities and the media try to defend Jade Helm and make people like you and me look silly, the more they get exposed. So let's start with your impressions on Jade Helm, where it's headed, and why we should be concerned.
Dave, if I may, let me just go back, I suppose, instead of starting out with where it's headed and why we should be concerned. One thing I have not yet heard anyone talk about, this really is a constitutional issue. Now, I'm not a constitutional scholar. I'm not a lawyer. I'm an investigator by profession, 30 years as an investigator, but I've hung around a lot of judges and lawyers. And as an investigator doing surveillance, and I've come across quite a few issues of violations, or, you know, concerns over violation of privacy, of people's privacy. But one thing I've never heard anyone talk about, at least as of yet, soldiers in the streets as it relates to the Third Amendment of the Constitution. Now, the Third Amendment, it reads in full that no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Now, that seemingly references the quartering, not seemingly, it does reference a quartering, the housing of soldiers. And many look at this, especially the constitutional scholars, as the runt piglet, if you will, of the Bill of Rights. In short, it's often overlooked, and it's a butt of jokes. And years ago, The Onion mocked it in an article. But the bottom line here, the symbolic Third Amendment, it's not just a prohibition on peacetime quartering, but it's a more robust expression of the threat standing armies pose to free societies. It represents a very long-standing, deeply ingrained resistance to armies patrolling American streets and policing American communities. And in that sense, the Third Amendment here would apply. And, you know, it's interesting, too, in this retrospective of the Third Amendment as it applies to what we're seeing with Jade Helm. My research has found, and this buttresses that of author Radley Balko of, he wrote The Rise of the Warrior Cop. The Supreme Court has yet to hear a case that turns on the Third Amendment. There was only one case that reached a federal appellate court. There have been times, periods in American history, where the government violated this amendment, of course, and on a large scale, but those incursions into quartering really didn't produce any significant court challenges. You could take the War of 1812, for example. Federal troops were quartered in private homes by the thousands, and also during the Civil War. And on both occasions, however, the quartering was neither authorized nor prescribed by Congress. So the reason I bring this up is because from a constitutional point of view, shouldn't people be outraged over the military patrolling on American streets, really in violation of the spirit of the Third Amendment? Perhaps not the actual literary interpretation, but the spirit of the Third Amendment, which does lead to, as I said, to the patrolling of policing American cities and communities by the military. And as you go back into time, you can see where anti-federalists like George Mason, Patrick Henry, Sam Adams, and so on, they opposed any sort of national army. They believed that voluntary civilian militias should handle the issues of national security. So the reason I mentioned all of this is really, you know, people can make fun of our critique of the exercise, Jade Helm exercise, but if our founding fathers were alive today, I'm sure they'd be scratching to get out of, their graves at this point, because this is just absolutely incredible when it comes to the constitutional aspect. So, you know,
I agree with you, Doug.
I'm
really impressed that you thought of bringing in the Third Amendment. And my mind is doing flips right here, because this morning I published an article where I took Tom Meade, who was a contractor who said he was a planner designer for Jade Helm. And I went through his entire 15-minute presentation and scripted the important parts. One part I didn't really get into, and maybe I should have, he said, we'll never go on to a person's private farm or ranch without first getting authorization to do so. And I'm not sure that he really said that the farmer or rancher had to be the one to give the authorization or permission. That is a form of the Quartering Act. He also mentioned in there, and I did publish this, that we expect American citizens to help our troops by giving them rides, letting them use their businesses for meeting points. That's basically co-opting personal property for one's governmental gain. And that is, Doug, as you say, a violation of the Third Amendment.
Well, it would seem to be. And that kind of, your article today and the absurdity of Tom Meade's statements got me thinking about the constitutional aspect of this. Really solidified that. I've been kind of musing over this and researching this, but that really brought it home. And with respect to the authorization aspect mentioned by Meade, having been in the working for Fortune 100 companies, many are banks and insurance companies in my profession as an investigator in the private sector, they're very conscious about potential litigation. So to me, I look at that statement as being an like a hold harmless. In other words, for example, if a military or a subcontractor for the military was hurt on the land of a private owner, there are liability issues on both sides, okay? So that, to me, is more of a hold harmless kind of aspect. And so it really has nothing to do with a voluntary allowance to be on the property. But, hey, if we're on the property and we get hurt, we're not going to sue you. You know, I mean, to me, that's what in my mind, that's kind of what that whole thing is about.
And, well, you're bringing up another salient point, Doug, in the presentation by Meade, he happened to mention that they were already had a hospital under contract. They'll have medical personnel on hand just in case things go wrong. So there's another aspect of medical liability as well, not just damage to property, but damage and harm to people. And, you know, and I'm scratching my head, Doug. What in the world could be they doing is a drill that could possibly necessitate them to contract with a nearby hospital?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was involved in EMS for about 7 years, overlapping my time as an investigator. I was a full-time paramedic and rescue emergency medical technician. Now, having said that, this is back in the late 70s. Now, any time we had a drill, we always had an ambulance at the time standing by with medical personnel. However, one thing we didn't do, even on large-scale drills in urban areas that involved a lot of personnel, one thing we never did was notify the hospitals that, you know, to be on alert for potential trauma cases. Now, what we're finding with Jade Helm and other areas, not just in the seven states, which is a lie, we know that, but not just in that area, but all over the country, hospitals are being put on notice to expect or to be prepared for the eventuality or potential of trauma-based injuries. This happened in the outskirts of Cleveland as well as the Cleveland Clinic. And this does correspond with and run concurrent with the Jade Helm exercises. And this came from a member of FEMA and DHS. Now, I can verify this. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I got this firsthand from the assistant administrator to a large hospital, as well as another source who is a friend of our program. So what's going on? I mean, we have to ask the question. This far exceeds any type of cautionary, okay, just as a precaution, we'll have an ambulance standing by, like they do at football games and all this. You know, and you know, people are going to say, well, that's just because it's over an abundance of caution. Well, no, this goes far beyond that. And so we have the right and, in fact, need to ask the questions, what's going on here? And so you're absolutely right.
Yeah, and see, you're just providing more confirmation. And, of course, there's the coffin distributions that we're seeing around the country as well, too. And you know what's comical about Meade's report was he made the announcement, well, this drill's in seven states. And then he proceeds to talk about the Navy SEALs will be in Louisiana, Mississippi, which aren't part of the Jade Helm announced seven states. It just one lie after another. But I am highly concerned, and we have a large listening audience in Texas. We always have had, and I want to say something to these people quite clearly. This man, Tom Mead, one of the planners for Jade Helm, is telling you that your lives and your property are at risk if you're in one of the test areas. You need to visit your county commissioners with your neighbors, and you need to threaten to remove them from office and be willing to follow through with that threat through a recall if they don't push Jade Helm out of your area, because you guys are in a lot of danger. Texans, prepare to be invaded.
You know, you're exactly right, and I would urge everyone who has not done so to visit your website, thecommonsenseshow.com, and watch the 15-minute and 6-second video. One thing that I found really interesting, your analysis of this, and I'm looking at, in fact, I'm looking at the page right now. Let's see here. It goes into, this is not, I'm not sure where you have it here. This is not preparation for Iraq and Afghanistan, something to that effect. We are at the 1 minute 38 second timestamp. We are not training for Afghanistan and Iraq. This is about unconventional warfare. And you bring up the very, very precise point that this indicates the anticipated conflict is likely to be guerrilla warfare. I think that can be extrapolated from that statement. But my question is, or my statement, I should say, is you train like you fight and fight like you train. You also train where you fight, and you train in areas like areas. So this exercise, the fruits of this exercise, the experience is not going to be exported. The expertise won't be exported for use in, we'll say, some Middle Eastern country or some sub-Saharan country. No, this to me is going to be used on the streets of this country, which that now opens a whole wide range of questions as to what are we expecting or what are they expecting, both ostensibly or you know, allegedly, and practically or realistically. And I think that we have to be concerned about this.
Boy, it's mind-boggling. But, you know, by the way, when I said the guerrilla warfare, that was my synopsis, that was my analysis. He even helped me out. Earlier in the video, he mentioned this is unconventional warfare. And by the way, that's what special ops do. It's asymmetrical. So it's not going to be conventional. It's not going to be conventional at all.
Well, you know, the other thing, Dave, is when I was researching this exercise, and I had talked to, and in fact, did many research projects and programs with Nathan Leal from Watchman's Cry. Okay, now he has gone into great detail of the, shall I say, the esoteric aspect of Jade Helm. Well, if you look at what Jade Helm is, and he points this out, as, and I agree with this, it's a manifestation of transformation and change for the United States military. And if you look back in time, and I'm a guy that likes to look in history and find aspects in history to see how we got here and why where we're at. But if you go back into the mid-90s, for example, you can see where the development by the globalists, this is one of the goals of past and present neocons.
Yes.
Just go back and look at the document, the very nefarious document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, that was published in September of 2000 by PNAC, the Project for a New American Century. And if you read that document, most people are aware of it, but have you read it? You know, to preserve American military preeminence, for example, in the coming decades, the Department of Defense must move more aggressively to experiment with, and I quote, new technologies and operational concepts. Okay, operational concepts. What are we talking about? We go back to apply it to what Mead said in your interview. That was a great catch, by the way. So this is going to have profound implications on our lives here in America, regardless of what the idiotic, moronic, bubble-headed idiots in the corporate media say. And I don't care whether it's MSNBC or Fox. It doesn't matter to me because they're all one and the same anyway. This flies in the face. I mean, we could taken them on head to head. You've done it, and you've tossed documentation in their faces, and they still come out and mock and attempt to vilify your findings. Well, you know, hey, look, just go back into time. Look at the historical aspects of this. Look at the PNAC document, one of the inspirations for a new doctrine of the Pentagon, this transformation of U.S. military, the militarization of the of the America's police forces as we see it taking place right now. All of this, you know, in the U.S. Army, the propaganda, you remember, and you talked about this back on April 27th, 2015, Lieutenant Colonel Mark Lastoria, he went to Bastrop County, Texas to answer a few questions. And if you... for example, when you pointed out, Dave, about the Jade Helm 15 logo and about the Jade Helm, the acronym, and is it an acronym? What about the logo? And well, it's all BS that comes from these people. No, of course not. There's no code. There's no acronym. It's just, and it, as far as the logo, well, you know, it is basically what it is. Well, wait a minute. You know, no, in fact, he made it a point to say Jade Helm, the name and the logo really has no special significance whatsoever, period. And I think I'm pretty much quoting him. So the bottom line here is what we're seeing is right in front of our faces. And these people have a lot of testosterone, really, or a lot of chutzpah to toss this in the faces of America to do this. In my view, at least, in violation of the spirit of the Third Amendment, as well as other amendments, you know, and we can go on from there. But it seems like no one is, or very few, I should say, are paying attention to the really intent of this exercise, the intent, and also the collateral effect that this will have, the precedent that this is going to have. What about the legal precedent? I mean, forget about anything else. When in the course of our history have we had an operation like this? And don't tell
never.
Me.
Yeah, the answer is absolutely never, Doug. We're going to step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we'll pick it up right here, and that's a great place to start. When have we ever done this? Stay tuned, everybody. We don't have to tell you that things are bad. The economy's on the verge of collapse. Jade Helm is practicing for dissident extractions. Some people even think it involves death squads, and we'll get into that with Doug when we come back. You know, the Russians are threatening to nuke us on an ongoing basis, and many don't think it's a matter of if, but when American society totally unravels. And who'll be there at 911 to take your call? Who'll be at urgent care when you have a medical emergency? Well, I want to talk to you about my friend Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com. Bob can help you get ready for what's coming. Very few of us realize that we're most vulnerable at night. And that's where ReadyMadeResources.com comes in. Night vision is an essential part of everyone's survival kit. It allows you to see the bad guys at night, and they can't see you. You can drive at night without headlights if you're bugging out, and that's a huge tactical advantage. The PVS-14 third-generation auto-gated unit is the best night vision in the world, and that's exactly what Bob Griswold sells. You can get a hold of Bob tomorrow by calling him at 800-627-3809 and talk to him about ready-made food. Talk to him about if you make a $100 purchase, how he'll send you 15 pre-1964 dimes. Ready-made Resources has been in business for 19 years, and it's one-stop shopping for your survival needs. Also, I want to talk to you about Katie Whalen. And those of you who know Katie, you listen to the show, you hear the health report. She's gaining a great deal of respect for having a tremendous amount of knowledge in the healthcare business. And I just mentioned, you can't go to urgent care when society collapses. And so that's where Katie is there to help you plan ahead of time for the catastrophe that's coming, as well as get healthy in today's present environment, which is a hard thing to do with GMOs and medical science and their cut it out, burn it out, poison it out approach. Katie at FamilyEssentialShop.com has some of the best health products in the entire industry. She focuses a lot on essential oils. We did a show on that last week. It's presently up on the webpage on page number one. You can listen to that interview about essential oils. It's really what everyone needs to become healthy. Excuse me. So I would encourage you to go to FamilyEssentialShop.com tonight after the show. Look at Katie's product line. And then tomorrow, give her a call at 720-630-3111. That's 720-630-3111. And get some medical advice from one of the most knowledgeable people out there in the natural health care industry. Well, our guest is Doug Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report. The other half of the Hagman Report is Joe Hagman, who also does a great job. And Doug and I are presently talking about Jade Helm. And Doug, before we get back into where we left off, tell everyone how they can follow your work, your show, when it airs, and how they can visit your website.
Dave, thanks very much. Very generous for you to offer that. The Hagman and Hagman Report airs Monday through Friday, 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And very simply, all you have to do to listen is to go to HagmanandHagman.com. That's H-A-G-M-A-N-N and Hagman.com. Spell it all out. In there, you'll have different options as to how you can listen from there, or you can access our past shows. And, of course, we have original investigative articles up there. We're not a news aggregator site. We'd like you. We know we do our own investigations in-house, and we publish them there. We had a little kind of quiet, dark time here recently, and we're coming back alive. Of course, we had a studio move, an office move, and that put us behind. But we're coming back out and coming back out strong. So thank you very much for that opportunity.
Thoughts? My pleasure, because I think you're the hottest ticket in town right now. You, my friend John B. Wells, Steve Quayle. There's a handful of really good people out there, Doug, and you're one of them, and you and Joe are two of the good guys out there. And I like to drive as many people to your show as possible because it's one-stop shopping for what you need to know to survive what's coming. And in terms of surviving what's coming, Doug, let me frame the next segment of our discussion in this light. When you talk about special operations forces, they are trained in pre-combat activities, meaning they'll come in the night before, a week before, a month before. They'll destroy command and control. They'll assassinate or kidnap high-value targets. That means they engage in death squad work. This is their purpose. So shouldn't we be concerned that since that's their MO, shouldn't we be concerned when they rappel into our neighborhoods at 4 a.m. like they said they're going to do? They said they're going to come in between the hours of 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. Am I just being paranoid, Doug, or should we all be concerned?
Oh, no. You know what? You hit it right on the mark, and people need to be concerned about this. That, of course, is if those people who have studied crime or murders, especially professional hits, for example, know that that time period is when the majority of hits are made, or you know, people need to be taken out in organized crime. That's when it's done usually. Now, having said that, of course, you have the element of surprise. You had mentioned something here. It's more than rappelling in, you know, into someone's home or business at that time. What I'm about to say here, anyone with any intellectual or reasoning capabilities would have to understand, or should understand, that Jade Helm, at least the concept, has been going on for some time. It's just not starting, you know, on July 15th. No. Now, this has been going on for some time under the construct of mastering the human domain. And it's a what that means is, in a nutshell, and there are military documents, by the way, under that title, or with that phrase in the title, that states that the United States military, in conjunction with federal police agencies. I'm talking the FBI, DHS, FBI not so much, DHS, Department of Justice assets, will infiltrate groups, patriotic groups, and conduct covert surveillance as operational and informational assets long before you see the first special operations officer or agent, you know, coming in through the window, so to speak. So we have to expect that we have been infiltrated. Or if you have an organization, we'll just use the Oath Keepers, for example. It could be any organization that you're operating or is operational. You've got to understand that there have been plants, people placed in these organizations who are operatives of federal agencies as well as military intelligence agencies. So before that first person busts through the door or busts down that door, they know exactly who and what they're looking for. This operation has been long in the planning and long in the operational process. So people really need to understand that.
This is frightening because, well, let me just share this part with you. Back to the Tom Meade report. Here you have a contractor. He used to be special ops, but no longer is. He's a contractor, and I shared this with you before the show. I played this recording, and we listened to it, watched it together on one of these video shares, and I showed it to two former high-ranking military officers, and they couldn't. They've never cussed so much. At least I haven't heard him cuss that much ever, and they were furious that here's a guy working for a private contractor company who's speaking for Jade Helm. When the contacts of these military officers, who I know well and provide me with a lot of timely information, say that the Jade Helm leadership, who they know personally, doesn't know what the hell's going on because this is so compartmentalized. So how is it that a contractor, Doug, is on top of things and the people running the drill are not?
Well, great question, great assessment. You know, that's very interesting in terms of you've got the military contractor, a guy with experience in special operations. He knows what the drill is, no pun intended there, but he knows exactly what's going on to the extent that he was told compartmentalized. He knows only as much as he has been told, and he has been handed a script. This is what you say. You stick to the script, and here's your job. Now, the important aspect in this working investigations as well, and I really got some experience when I was an operational asset for the Department of Justice back in the mid-1990s. I experienced this compartmentalization firsthand. They will only tell you, if you're working a massive investigation, for example, they're only going to tell you what they want to tell you, what your role is. So you don't have the bigger picture, and that's done for secrecy purposes. And a lot of times it works against the, if the intent is pure, for example, if the intent is non-nefarious, well, that works against the overall objective. So what we're seeing here, and I think you adequately summarized this in your latest article here on Jade Helm, the article with the video, I think is, you know, you've got to look at this as something nefarious, at least to the public, based on the based alone on the compartmentalization. And so any reasonable thinking human being who has any working brain cells should be able to say, wait a minute, this is not certainly what it is being projected to be. And, you know, and if I can stray off a little bit here, you know, have we noticed the integration between the military and the police forces? Again, doing some research on this, if I could just slip this in real quick here. One thing that concerns me, 1994, Bill Clinton, he started a new grant program via the Department of Justice called, and people might remember this, the Community Oriented Policing Services, or the COPS program. Clinton and the leaders in Congress, most notably Senator at that time Joe Biden, funded it with nearly $150 million. Okay, the next year that funding jumped to $1.5 billion. The reason I bring this COPS program up is this kind of launched the integration, if you will, at least the modern form of integration into this. It kind of opened the door for this integration between interagency operational planning, which the next step was with the United States military following 2001, following the attacks of 2001. The reason I said all that to say this, the excuse here is the funding, the architecture, the infrastructure has been set up by Bill Clinton, by Joe Biden, who now is the vice president, no longer a senator. This has all been orchestrated long before 2015. We're talking 20 years in the making, and people need to understand that. This is what we're seeing right now is the flash bang of an operation that has been long in the making.
Yeah, I would agree, and it's the predecessor to, what is that called, Program 1033. And Obama just announced a week or two ago that they were doing away with the funding for that. What do you make of that?
There are more ways than one to accomplish your objectives. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, when you're talking about defunding something, at least defunding in terms of on the books funding, defunding, whatever you want to, however you want to term it. Okay, so people can't protest what they don't know about. I mean, think about TPP, for example, the secrecy involved in that. I don't know if that's an adequate comparison, but nonetheless, you know, that's what we're looking at.
Well, everything is smoke and mirrors, and I would agree with you. It's all how you posture it. Well, we know now from a Judicial Watch report, and we've had it confirmed from other Mexican officials who are speaking off the record to people in this country, that ISIS has at least two base camps. Judicial Watch reported on one, just on the other side of the Mexican border. One of the things that occurred to me, Doug, was when Operation Fast and Furious was going on, and we were funneling guns to the cartels, were they storing them for this day?
Oh, sure. And it predates Fast and Furious. I mean, if you go back into the Iran-Contra time period, and again, I like looking back into history and seeing if there's any type of dot connecting to be done. You know, you had a lot of arms being shipped to rebels in Central America and South America. Look at Benghazi, for example. What was that all about? Well, Benghazi was, despite what the paid shills are telling us, Benghazi was all about arming the anti-Assad terrorists to destabilize Syria. Okay, I mean, in a nutshell. So, the reason I bring that up, I would assert that Benghazi exposed or had the potential to expose the largest gun running training operation in the history of the world under the Clinton, the State Department, under the Obama renegade in chief executive office, executive branch, and under the Brennan CIA operation. Okay, and a lot of those weapons that were funneled out of Libya, out of Benghazi, and you have to ask yourself, too, why was Gaddafi taken out, especially when he was helping, he had begun to help with naming terrorists in real time. He was assisting our intelligence agencies, as was his son. But so why was he taken out? Well, he was taken out for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons was to avoid him talking and saying, look, you are actually taking these weapons, taking our weapons that work, and giving them to the Al-Qaeda, the Al-Qaeda terrorists, which is a predecessor or the creation of ISIS. And but that's what Benghazi was all about. And some of these weapons weren't just destined to Turkey and to Syria, but some of these weapons also made it to our, or the shores, or the borders of America via the Ho Chi Minh Trail out of northern Libya. Bottom line here, ISIS is the creation of Western intelligence agencies, and we came out right after Benghazi and said, look, you guys are, you know, I mean, this is what Benghazi was all about. This was never a consulate, never a diplomatic anything. It was a CIA operational headquarters, and they were funneling a lot of weapons. So you're arming ISIS. The pullout of our soldiers in Iraq. What's ISIS driving? The Toyotas. Okay, Toyotas that we, our Toyotas, okay, that we provided to the Iraqi military. We left the keys in the vehicles, literally, and walked away from them. So we equipped and we're funding ISIS as well. And now, to have it here on our shores, well, what's that all about? And as you mentioned, Fast and Furious, yes, that was part of it as well. All of these dots connect. Every disparate, seemingly disparate news headline has its roots in either the financial takedown of the country, the societal takedown of the country, or the military takedown of the country. That's what I submit.
Yeah, well, your submission is well received and accepted on this end because we do have a traitor in the White House who is determined to take this country down. You know, let's look at something else. This week, I reported on the Deagle report again, and as a follow-up to a story I did about a year and a half ago. Deagle's a CIA front, and they have associations with the who's who in the political and corporate world, and they projected that the United States population would be 66 million by the year 2025. And to dovetail on that, a man named Mike Krulig, who was President Obama's first community advisor in Chicago, who heads a program, it's an Agenda 21 program called Building One America. He has a website, his people do, called America2050.org. And Building One America dovetails into this because what they want to do is organize America into 11 super mega regions, each consisting of about 6 million people. So again, we arrive at a population figure of 66 million, Doug, and I know you know where I'm going with this. What's going to happen to the other 250 million Americans?
Well, a mass culling, of course, of the population. You know, what's going to happen? Any number of things. Could it be nuclear war? Could it be plagues? Could it be, you know, I'm not sure of the method or manner in which the extermination will occur, but I do know that this has been on the agenda of these communist Marxist people since day one. You know, you and I both, I believe, have spoken to Larry Grathwall, who yes. infiltrated the Weather Underground. He's no longer with us, of course, but Larry, a good guy, good friend, spoke about the Weather Underground, their objectives of taking over through infiltrating from within, and of course, you know, having to kill basically a large segment of the population. Well, the very people who were the people protesting and the boots on the ground, so to speak, during that time period, from the late '60s, we'll say, or mid to late '60s to the mid to late '80s. Are the very people in power today. So, you know, the agenda has not changed. No, the power now lies in the people in power. So, you know, I think we're seeing a natural evolution of the original objectives from the Weather Underground. Now we've got the seditious traitorous man in the White House. who has not been vetted. And I think that people, if you go back to 2008, everyone like us who was screaming, we were screaming, saying, look, this guy, no one knows who he is. And his media work rise into the White House. What's that all about? And people weren't allowed to talk about his bona fides or lack thereof. So the bottom line is, you know, the deep dark secret is that it's no secret at all. This guy was selected and positioned, I believe, for this very time to execute this operation, which we're seeing. And he ran on this platform of hope and change, fundamentally changing America. Of course, that's very true, but not in the way people intended.
Yeah, the joke is on us. And what people don't realize is when you mentioned the Weatherman Underground, a lot of people aren't aware of this, is that Larry Grathwohl, who has infiltrated the Weatherman, as you said, he became friends with Bill Ayers. And Larry said something that just sent chills up my spine when he was on my show. He said, Dave, I sat down with him once and I asked Bill Ayers, what will you do when you take over the United States? And it was almost like he hadn't thought of an answer. And he says, well, you know, the first thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to put about 50 million Americans in re-education camps and do away, meaning kill, about 25 million. And that's when the country had about 180 million people in it. So he was talking somewhere a little over a third of the country being impacted this way. And then Bill Ayers, and this is a point I want to make very clearly, Bill Ayers still visits the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Obama,
but wait, Dave. Now, hey, the name, no. You know, I'll tell you something. You talk to these, when you look at these different websites, and of course, there are so many Bill Ayers out there. You can't be sure it's the same one. You know, they'll make fun of you. They'll say, that's not the same guy. The names are mistaken. Isn't that funny how that works? I'm sorry. I had to throw that in there. But you're right.
No, because we go back to Ann Dunham, President Obama's mother, who worked for Tim Geithner's father at the CIA PSYOPs MK Ultra Ford Foundation.
Absolutely.
This is why I think Obama's a Manchurian candidate. He's been psychologically prepped for this moment ever since he was a child. And then he was given to his communist father, Frank Marshall Davis, for 9 years to finish his education. And look at the people who he has in the White House. Valerie Jarrett, senior White House advisor, her father-in-law, Vernon Jarrett, was connected to the Weatherman Underground. What a coincidence.
Absolutely. And if I could take it one step further in this evolutionary scale, my research, which is, you know, I'm doing a massive report on this, the connection here among all of the people involved in this cult, if you will, and I call it a cult because that's pretty much what it is. I'm going to just say one word, and that is Subud, S-U-B-U-D. Folks, if you haven't done so already, just search that term, Subud, S-U-B-U-D. Take a look at the founder. Take a look at the picture of the founder of Subud. Now, I know, Dave, you're pretty convinced that the lineage of Obama was Frank Marshall Davis in terms of paternity. That, of course, I think, who was that, Joel Gilbert, who wrote the book on that?
Right.
However, I contend, and I've got to say this, I'm looking at this a little bit differently. I believe that the founder of the organization known as Subud, which, by the way, Loretta Fuddy happened to be one of the administrators in Hawaii until her death, okay? I believe that Obama has a lineage from the founder of Subud. Just put the two pictures side by side, and you'll see what I mean. The founder of Subud and Barack Hussein Obama, as he's known today. But having said all of that, Subud is perhaps the key, and Subud is not what it purports to be. It is infiltrated and really steered, if you will, by Western intelligence, that being the CIA primarily.
Well, you're going to have to enlighten us on that when we come back, at least in terms of as much as you're ready to reveal. Do you subscribe? We got about a minute to the break, but do you subscribe to the notion that Malik Obama is the president's half brother?
Yes, I do, but perhaps not in the manner in which many of the within the alternative media have suggested. Yes, I do.
Well, I have a picture of the two of them together, and we know that Malik Obama runs guns for the Muslim Brotherhood, and he's also in charge of their finances.
Yes.
And you know, it's unconscionable to me that the president wouldn't step to the podium tomorrow morning and say, I know a lot of you are aware of this association, and blood does not necessarily mean allegiance. I'm an American, and I disavow my half-brother's allegiances and his actions. And the mere fact that he hasn't done that speaks to how much of a traitor we have at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Amen, brother.
It's just mind-boggling to me. When we look at the totality of what's going on in the White House, and final question before we go to the break here, do you think Obama's a Muslim?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh. Yeah. There's no question about it. Obama, Brennan, and I can go on, but yes, absolutely, I do.
Well, you know, one of the generals who was sacked, General Ham, the former head of AFRICOM, for trying to rescue Stevens, and he was arrested by his number two CIA plant, Colonel Rodriguez. Did you see where Ham is coming out endorsing the Muslim religion? Did you see that anywhere?
Only from you, okay. And that, when you told me that, Dave, I got to tell you, I was absolutely taken aback by that. I had not seen that before, and it doesn't surprise me, but it certainly is shocking to hear that, and you did a great job exposing that, so I thank you for that.
It's frightening. Well, we're going to step aside, and we come back after a top-of-the-hour break. We're going to continue more on these topics, bend a little bit back into Jade Helm again, and we might get to touch on CERN before we're done. Stay tuned. We'll see you in hour number two.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.